Please remain standing for the reading of the scripture. Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, please be seated. So it appears that the Lord has a sense of humor in that my injury is acting up once again. And today, I get the great privilege of speaking to you about signs and wonders and healing. Oh my. And so today, actually, I think there's something providential in God's great plan. He's not surprised. Today, we get to talk about what happens as a result of last week's text, which is about God doing something scary, terrifying. There's pretense and there's people pretending to be religious leaders of great sacrifice, and actually the holiness of God actually causes them to be disciplined and even die. There's this fire, proverbially, of God that comes out. And this week I was driving out to Radium, and for my family, my parents were celebrating their 50th anniversary. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And we interacted with some types of pine cones. You know those pine cones that are like rock solid? That they're like, they're sealed and they're like very hard, and there's no way the seed could come out. Apparently this is a phenomenon called I don't even know how to pronounce it, serotiny. You can look it up. It's very hard to pronounce. But what happens is these types of pine cones, they sit on the ground for years and years and years. And the only time that the seed inside of them is activated is when there's a fire that looks to devastate the ecosystem. And then the wax melts and the seeds are released and new life and transformative life comes out. And so last week we saw a proverbial fire. The fire of God in terms of judgment against people being pretending to be something they're not. And actually, this would almost seem to threaten the church. Everyone was afraid. But what happened was this, that fire of God led to incredible amounts of new life because God's power flows greatly through a purified people. That's our big idea today. If you're here and you're exploring faith, we get to look at a text that honestly, for many of us, is hard to reckon with. What we're going to encounter here is, quite frankly, a little bit odd. Shadows healing people. It's not in our new ministry action plan. You won't hear that in the next 60 days at our AGM, we're planning on a shadow healing ministry. But also, it's here in the text. So we're going to deal with that. So today we talk about signs and wonders. And some of us today, you come in here maybe skeptical or cynical. And if you're here and you're a Christian, today's a great day to go, Jesus, that's where I'm at. Increase my faith. Some of us today, as we talk about healing and signs and wonders, you may have feelings of like, am I just a second-class Christian? Because I haven't seen this in my life. Here's the great news. If you read the book of Acts, this is 30 years condensed into less than 30 chapters. And so actually, God increased my faith and expectancy. But you don't need to be ashamed. At the end of our time, we're also going to invite you. I just want you to know, because I'm hurt, because I haven't had healing, doesn't mean I don't believe in healing. So at the end of our time today, we're going to invite those of you who go, I'm asking God for healing in some way, shape, or form. We're going to invite you to stand to be prayed for. Just want you to know that. And so with that being said, we're going to pray now. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word and we talk about signs and wonders, some of us are just skeptical. Some of us we've asked and we have not received. Help us to not take offense at what you do or not do, but help us to trust in your great goodness. Jesus, some of us in the room, we're so tempted to feel like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus, for those who are experiencing that today, would you bless them? Would you help us to see that the greatest miracle is the transformation of a human heart from darkness to light? And then also increase our faith. Spirit of God, for those who are here who need healing, would you prepare their hearts to receive what you have for them? And Jesus, for those who are here exploring faith, would you reveal yourself to them today in a way that would lead to a transformed life? And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So a bit of an outline for our time together. We're going to talk about signs and wonders. Woohoo! So we need to look at the power of God. Then we'll look at fearful holiness and irresistible grace. And then finally, we'll talk about the shadow. So let's talk about the power of God. Again, context and background. The book of Acts is written by Luke. Luke, everything he writes is eyewitness testimony. So Luke, he went around speaking to people who lived in this time and recorded what they reported. And also, we'll see in the book of Acts later, Luke begins to be a part of the traveling journey and reports what he sees happen. Luke is detail-oriented. And here, once again, we get another summary statement of what's going on in the early church. And just last week, we looked at these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a property and then deceived the community, tried to, about how much they were giving. And then shockingly, they die. That's God's discipline for them. And it says the whole church was afraid. Everyone was seized with great fear. That's where we pick up. So it says this, verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So a few things happen here. One is this. The apostles, the early church leaders who had witnessed Jesus with their eyes, that's what an apostle was in biblical times. Some people now will refer to those who are apostolic or have an apostolic leaning as those who are innovators and entrepreneurs for the cause of Christ. But they are not biblical apostles in the sense of seeing Jesus, the risen Christ, with their eyes. That was the standard for apostles. So the apostles, they're performing many signs and wonders. Here's what you need to know, Foothills. In the early church, what Jesus did, his church also did. That's what happens. And they're performing signs and wonders. And again, the first listeners would have seen this, that what was happening in the church was actually what happened in the Exodus. So when God was setting the nation of Israel free from slavery, God was doing once more as people were being set free from Satan, sin, and death. Here's what they would have heard, because they would have been so familiar with Deuteronomy, one of the first five books of the Old Testament. Here's what it said in Deuteronomy 6:22. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. And that word there for signs and wonders is exactly the same word for signs and wonders that the apostles did here. And so all of the readers were going, I've heard that phrase before. And here's what you need to know. Under the old covenant, when God worked signs and wonders, they were signs and wonders of judgment. But under the ministry of Jesus Christ, the signs and wonders of the kingdom of God are healing and freedom and release. It's what he does. And some of us, we struggle to believe in the power of God because we have not seen signs and wonders. Here's what I want to say to those of you who go, I haven't seen signs and wonders, Kyle. What do I do with that? Here's what I would say to you. There was a long season of my life. I had started a church. I was a youth pastor, and I'd hardly seen a sign or a wonder. And here's what happened. Here's what I did, and some of you have done this as well. I became skeptical and cynical about other people who reported signs and wonders. So I'd hear about missionaries, people overseas. They'd have wonderful testimonies of Jesus healing people when prayed for. And I'd go, maybe. Some of you folks in here, you're maybe folks. It's okay. My heart did that too. Then, when other people would get healed, and I was at a church large enough that I heard of some people, they got prayed for and they got like healed, I'd go, that's so weird. God, what's wrong with me? And some of you in this room or watching online, because you haven't seen healing, you go, God, what's wrong with me? And I need us to understand that the great ministry of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders was there to help people meet Jesus Christ. The goal of signs and wonders is not signs and wonders. The goal of signs and wonders is for people to meet Jesus, have their life reunited to God, have their heart changed, have a home in heaven, and to go there and be with God forever. That's the purpose of signs and wonders. I would also say this to you. To those of you who go, I have not seen a sign and a wonder, what I would tell you is do not indict the scriptures and do not indict the experience of other people, but invite the Holy Spirit to move in your life. It's easy to be cynical, and it's hard to be faithful. And friends, can I be honest with you today? Today, for me, easy to be cynical. Limping around again. Half of you who met me, you go, what did you do? My answer, nothing. And yet, here's what I would tell you. I've seen healings. I'll tell you a story. At my old church, we had a Sunday like this. And at the end, it's what we're going to do in about 20 minutes. We just had a sermon on healing. And I just said, some of you, you need healing. And what is healing? Healing in some ways is like an embrace from God. And sometimes he gives it, and sometimes he doesn't. And so we're just going to have this moment, invite you to stand where you are as a humble sign before a good God that, God, I'm asking for healing. And probably like 40 people stood. We weren't a really big church. And I prayed, but honestly, we all just prayed. And there was a friend of mine, her name was Tosh, and she came up sobbing after. And she said, Kyle, I've had a migraine for a week. I've just been walking in chronic pain. And as we prayed, I felt this warm sense of love, and my migraine evaporated. And she was visibly moved. And you know what? There was about 38, 39 other people who didn't tell me a darn thing. Why? Don't know. But here's what I do know. Tosh was glad she stood, and so was I. She got something from the Lord. So the apostles, they were doing signs and wonders. And here's what's fascinating to me. In verse 12, right after you have Ananias and Sapphira who are performing, pretending they're something they're not, I need us to understand this, that in the kingdom of God, performance is the enemy of power. Many of us are afraid of this topic of signs and wonders because we've seen performative ministries. I don't like to name or criticize other people, especially from the stage. I just don't believe it to be a fruitful endeavor. I don't think it honors God, to be honest. Sometimes there's a place and a space for it. But here's what I'd say. Many of us we've seen abuses of the ministry of God working signs and wonders, and we've watched online, and it's become performative, and it almost has become a circus, and we go, I don't like this at all. But hear me. Hear me. I will not let the counterfeit substitute for the real. I will not give up on the real for what God wants for his church and his people because other people are counterfeiting or performing. God moves in power. And all of these were being done among the people. Verse 12, this word here for among the people is just the common people. These are not necessarily people who are following Jesus. As we read the book of Acts, you'll note that most of the miracles are actually done outside of a private church gathering. They're done out in the public. It seems that God wants people to meet him. I'll tell you another story because sometimes testimony helps. I played beer league hockey for a while, number of years, and then I just was too old and too tired. One day, a friend of mine, his name was Kyle, while we were playing, he used to play without a cage on his face, so he just played with the visor. And one day, as he was playing, and he played rough, he was about 111 pounds soaking wet. He was not a big man, but he played as though he was 350 pounds of twisted steel. He was aggressive. He was angry. He cursed a lot. And one day, chasing after the puck, he fell down and took a boot, the boot of a skate, right to his mouth. And it hit the bottom four teeth. And he went to the dentist, and the dentist said, "Your four bottom teeth are dead." So the next week, as we're hanging around, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to have to lose them all." And I just said, "Could I pray for you that your teeth would live?" And he said, "Sure." He knew I was a Christian, knew I was a pastor. And I prayed for him. And he didn't say anything remarkable happened. Didn't give a testimony. Didn't fall down. But the next week he came back, he said, "I went to the dentist. Turns out my teeth aren't dead." I don't know. I wish that story had a more fulfilling answer. Like, then I shared Jesus with him and he gave his life to Christ. I don't have an end to that. Here's what I would say. Part of the conviction I have and part of the conviction I would invite you to is this. I want everything Jesus Christ has for me that is written in his word. I want that for you. So as we talk about miracles, I want to outline and do a little bit of theology for you. Theology is thinking, logos, about God, theos. There are three approaches that many people take when it comes to miracles. First is the cessationist position. And that basically is this, that God can do the miraculous, but generally he doesn't. And the canonical era, so when scripture was finally written and ratified, about 325 AD, that the gifts of prophecy, of healing, of signs and wonders ended. That's one view. Some of you in the room, you have that view. You're welcome to be a part of this church. We love you. I disagree with you, but that's okay. Don't you disagree with some of the things you thought 10 years ago? Some of you 10 years ago, you were communists. Just playing, not really though, but some of us 10 years ago, we were atheists. Some of us 10 years ago, we were angry. The second view that I would commend to you is actually continuationism. And that is this. Continuationism is this, that God still moves in power. And the gifts remain active for the mission. If you speak to people who work overseas, if you speak to people who've done ministry for long enough, you'll hear enough stories that go, God does still move. God still moves, Foothills. God still moves. He didn't stop moving. And then the third is simply this, charismatic excess. That God must move, has to. And it elevates the spectacular over the fruit of the Spirit and the truth of God's word. Here's what I need you to know. I'm wondering how detailed to go. Let's go a little deep. In the realm of psychology, one of the hardest things for a human person to do is to change their mind. If you study deep enough and you read about the concept of cognitive dissonance, when something hits your worldview that causes you to change, it creates a crisis in your brain and soul and psyche. Here's what that fundamentally means. That change, deep-rooted, profound change, is almost impossible. Look at some area of your life. Pick the area of your life that you're like, I should be better here, but I'm not. Why? Because actually life change is a gift from Jesus Christ that comes through the power of his Holy Spirit. And what I want us to know, Foothills, is this: the most important thing is not whether God heals my ankle, it's whether people get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the most important thing is not whether God heals a broken bone or frees you from cancer. And please, Lord, do that. I would like to run around again. It's whether you become like Christ. And charismatic excess puts the power of God over the transformation of the Spirit. Because I don't believe that we as a church are going to be overly given to charismatic excess, I just want to talk about continuationism or cessationism a little bit. Cessationism, the idea that God can move but generally doesn't. Some of you have that view. It's okay. We love you. You can be a part of the church. I just want you to know that the early church didn't believe in that. The earliest church didn't believe. From 33 to 500 AD, the church operated normatively with the supernatural as expected, not guaranteed. It wasn't every day, but it was a part of what marked the church. Furthermore, the global church sees gifts of the Spirit at work. Missionaries routinely speak of healings, miracles, signs, wonders, prophetic words. It happens. And theologically, if you are to be a cessationist, you have to disagree with Irenaeus, Augustine, Martin Luther, Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, George Mueller, Charles Spurgeon, A.B. Simpson, Martin Lloyd-Jones, J.I. Packer, Tim Keller, Wayne Grudem, and a score of others. All of those people believe that God still moves in power. So, let's talk about you. What is your posture towards the supernatural? For some of us in the room, it's denial. This doesn't happen, could not happen. Some people go, it's a placebo effect. I read about the placebo effect. Some of us are cautious. Some of you, this whole conversation has made you go, no, I'm scared. I hope we don't become one of those churches. But I would encourage you in this. What we are talking about is found in the scripture, and it's about pursuing Jesus, pursuing his face, not just his hands. Number three, some of us, we live in hope. God could do something amazing. Let's ask. Some areas of life I live with hope. I'm hoping he heals me. I wish I expected him to. It's been 4 months of annoying. Some of us live with expectation. God wants to do something. Let's invite him in. Then there's trust. God will do something. And so you pray different. You boldly ask. You even proclaim things. And then there's danger. God must do something or we did it wrong. Let's just be honest. Some of you up here, you go, what secret sin is Kyle living in? Some of you think, it's okay. No, it's fine. Like, it's all right. I in a room this size, people online, I just understand. That's what our minds do. I had a lovely person who came to me and said, hey, I've been praying for you. I want you to ask, is there anyone you need to forgive? Because maybe that's affecting you. They weren't condemning, but they were just trying to help me get healed. I appreciated it. But some of you, we do that. We fall into this pit. And we go, if God doesn't move, we did it wrong, or we didn't have enough faith. When we had a fire, remember, many of you remember, we had a big fire here at Foothills in the fall. Somebody sent me a really lovely email and said, it's all your fault, Kyle. It's because you're coming back that the fire happened. They did. And I want to caution us against that. Foothills, my great fear is simply this, that many of us will move from not believing that God moves in power at all to a place where we believe it and trust it, and then it gets twisted and distorted and becomes a paddle with which we hit ourselves or others. Now, Foothills, we want Jesus. We want Jesus. A friend and mentor of mine, he said this, that part of what we need to do when it comes to talking about the power of God is actually just seek his face, not his hands. That if you and I, and we as a church, we seek intimacy and closeness and purity with Jesus, we'll see his power when he wants. But don't be tempted just to seek his hands, seek his face. With his face comes his hands as well. in ways that he wants and desires. We also see this, that the power of God is a seal on the gospel. So verse 14, no one else dared join them. So all the people are like, I'm not being a part of the disciples. They're getting persecuted. They're being arrested, even though they were highly regarded by the people. But then it says this, verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Do you want to know what the exclamation point of the kingdom of God was in the book of Acts? People being added to the kingdom. So foothills, we praise God for like 60 plus baptisms and more on the way. That's what matters. This is why we want to seek Jesus, because what matters is this, meeting Christ. All right, let's talk about fearful holiness and irresistible grace. So there's this fear of the community. No one dared join them. Why did no one join them? Because someone just died because of the holiness of God. You gave a bad offering, dead. Fearful group to be a part of. And here's the reality. For some of us, we long for revival harvest, but not revival holiness. I want you to understand this, Foothills, that we as a church, we want to see God move in great power in our time for our nation's sake, for the glory of God. It's what we want. I'm not apologizing for that. We want to see God move in our time. I want to see young men saved. I want to see young women saved. I want to see old men saved and old women saved. I want to see our country get well. I want the spiritual condition of Calgary to change. We sung that the name of Jesus is higher than all powers and dominions. We long for that. But sometimes what we long for, sometimes what I am longing for is this, the fruit of revival without the root of revival, which is holiness. And yet God, when he purifies his people, people are drawn. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. A couple of thoughts here. Once more, verse 14, we have the mention of men and women. Part of the sign of the kingdom of God was simply this, that the status of women in a culture that devalued them was raised. I'll say another thing too. I think one of the signs of the kingdom, this is going to be controversial. It might offend you. Yeah, I'm going to say it. We live at a very unique time where some of you, because you're women, you've been devalued. I'm really sorry. It's not the heart of God. And also, the emerging generation for men, young men, are devalued. So this weird world where we go, you have people, male, who go, I feel like I'm devalued and society is set against me. And we have people who go, I'm a woman and I feel like the world is set against me because I'm female. Here's what I need you to know. Foothills, we as a church, we want to be men and women who honor men and women. Amen. Amen. And so I'd say that we have a unique opportunity, Foothills, to continue to elevate and honor women. But we also have a duty to look out for the lost young men. If you read the data, I'm a father of three boys, and Brent Sellers is a father of three girls, and we love girls, and we love boys. But the data on young men is this, they're falling apart. It's a hard time. In the kingdom, God cares about men and women, and we as a church care about men and women. And so these people, they believed in the Lord and were added to their number. I need us to know, Foothills, that as we live different lives, peculiar lives, purified lives, holy lives, people will be drawn to God. Calgarians, they need Christians who look like them, talk mostly like them, dress mostly like them, work with them, love them, and are friends, and yet are dramatically different. People aren't compelled by people who are identical to them. People are compelled by people who live extraordinary lives by the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of their character and integrity and honesty. And this was the early community. There was fearful holiness and irresistible grace. Finally, let's talk about the shadow, the fun one right here. I'm going to move a little bit. It doesn't hurt so bad right now. Don't get cocky, Kyle. All these people are being added to their number. Verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. This is odd. It's odd. The implication here is that people got healed as Peter walked by. This miracle actually is a fulfillment of Jesus' promise to his first followers, John 14, 6, you'll do greater things than I did because I'm going to the Father. And I might be 16. It's in John. Jesus made a promise that when he sent the Holy Spirit, his followers would do greater works. Jesus healed people by being touched, the edge of his clothes. But here Peter's shadow falls on them. When we read the book of Acts, we need to remember that sometimes things are descriptive, not prescriptive. Please, please, at least for now, do not line up the hallways of Foothills Alliance so that as Lisa Peters walks by, do it for Carla instead. No, I'm kidding. But there was this great faith that even those who weren't sure about Jesus had. I'm not sure we have that faith. I know I don't. Here's a prayer. What do you do when you lack faith? You pray a really humble prayer. Here's the prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. We did have a testimony of this. Some of you were here Easter Sunday. I think it was second service. There was a woman. Her name was Monda. She came in. She came in to be baptized spontaneously. She was sobbing uncontrollably, could hardly gasp. Or she was gasping. She could hardly breathe. And as she got on the tub, she said, I got healed on the way here. And I said, what happened? And while she was watching our service on YouTube, we said, there's going to be an invitation for baptism. Some of you need to get baptized. And she said, God, I know I need to be baptized, but I have a degenerative bone disease in my hip. I can't get there. Could you please give me a sign? And she got healed. No, it's not a shadow. It's something far less important. It's YouTube. Hear me, it's not because any of us are special. It's because God is gracious. And she came in, walked to the church with a degenerative bone disease in her hip. And some of us, we said, I don't know if I believe that. But Monda did, and she got baptized. Practically, a friend of mine, Rob Reamer, he says, Theology 101. Because some of us go, why did he do it this way? He says, Theology 101, God is smart and knows things we don't. Theology 201, God is good. And sometimes he moves in odd ways. It's just true. Sometimes he moves in odd ways. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. So there's this unique season of healing. However, When you read the rest of the New Testament, we see also that sometimes there's no healing. The Apostle Paul, he's in the book later. He's got this like eye problem going on that tracks with him, it seems, for the rest of his life. He says to Timothy was refusing wine and just drinking water, and water in the ancient world was dirty. And so he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, because of your frequent sicknesses, just have a little wine to help cleanse your stomach. In every author in the New Testament, I need you to know this, every author in the New Testament died. And so, Foothills, we live in this tension where sometimes the healing doesn't happen. But we also want to live in a tension where God can move in power. And so, the application. Some of us, we need to raise our expectations and ask God for faith. Number two, some of us, we need to indict our experience. Simply just to say this, I don't need to deny the scriptures. I just need to go, my experience could be bigger and broader and deeper. God, I'd like bigger and broader and deeper. And if not, that's okay. When it comes to the power of God, I want to be always thankful, never satisfied, always pursuing for more, and not taking offense when God doesn't move. And sometimes I take offense. Today, I'm not so offended about my leg. But on Friday, oh, I was miserable. Number three, the gap is not God's design, so pray. So in 30 seconds, we invite those, you go, Jesus, I sure would love some healing in some area of my heart, mind, soul, or body. Some of you go, I'd like to be saved. We're going to invite you to stand as a humble sign before a good God. And then we're going to invite prayer. One other reflection prayer you can do this week is just simply to ask Jesus, show you where you're living in unbelief. Inexperience is different than unbelief. Unbelief is about a hard heart. Inexperience is, I haven't experienced it yet. And I'm asking for more. Finally, the good news. Peter's shadow healed people. Cool. Some people got sick. They got up off a mat, presumably, and walked. Amazing. Again, if one of you wants to walk by with your shadow and heal my leg, I welcome it in Jesus' name. But there's a far more important shadow, and it's living under the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ, where God forgives sin, he gives eternal life, he reunites himself to you, and you are made new in the kingdom of God. And so we are going to pray. I'm going to invite all of us to just kind of create a sacred space. I'm going to invite us to close your eyes. If you're here and you go, Jesus, I'm asking for healing. Maybe you want to become a Christian and be united to God. You can stand. If you go, I have an illness or an ailment or pain in my body, I'm going to stand as a humble sign before a good God that I'm asking for healing. The rest of you, you don't need to stand, but you could pray that God would move in power and have mercy on people. So I'll invite you, those of you who go, Lord, I'm asking for something, I invite you to stand right now where you are. And again, for those of you who remain seated, pray. Those of you standing, pray. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we know you are here. In Jesus' name, would you heal? Would you heal hearts? Would you heal bodies? Would you heal minds? Would you heal destinies? Would you heal marriages? So in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare the healing presence of God over you and over this room. And some of you, you may simply say, Lord, I receive what you have for me today. So, Father, would you stretch out your hands? Would you pour out your healing? Would you break through the dark? Would you lift up the name of Jesus? And would you purify your church for your glory and our joy? In Jesus' name, amen.